In the past, we've discussed the issue of bishul basar v'chalav. The Torah prohibits bishul. Now, there are other ways of transferring tam from chalav into basar, or basar into chalav, without bishul.
Kavush.
And also melicha. Right. In both of those cases, you have a transfer of tam, but it's not bishul. And we can discuss at a different occasion what would happen on Shabbos with regard to melechas bishul. And the premise I'm going to operate with, again, we're not learning Shabbos now, is that although kavush is kivavushal, but it's not bishul mamish, and therefore you would not violate, you know, the chil Shabbos d'oraisa for sure of bishul. And the same thing applies in basar v'chalav.
Even the rabbanon.
Correct. In basar v'chalav, we have an isur d'rabbanon of kavush, and we have an isur d'rabbanon of melich. That's what we want to study now. But in Shabbos, I'm not even sure if there's an isur d'rabbanon. But in any event, let's take a look at the Mishnah on Kuf Tes Zion, and then we'll get to the Shulchan Aruch. So we get a little bit of background here. You have a Gemara Chulin?
No.
All right, so, you know what? I think it's Kedai. I think it's Kedai that you see this inside, because I want to go through a Rashi with you. I'm gonna just try to organize the daf. So see if you can find the Gemara Chulin. Just 1 second here. Kuf Tes Zion. Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to look at the Mishnah, which is the last two lines on Kuf Tes Zayin. Now, this is the way they made cheese, and making cheese is a twofold problem, depending upon the keva itself. If the keva is, the animal is owned, and the keva is taken from an animal owned by a goy, then of course the assumption is that this animal is an avela. No shchita was performed. And now, when you have chalav curdling in this keva, you have a problem of blias iser nevela. And therefore, the Mishnah paskins, kevas ove kechavim vishel nevela, harezu asura. Okay? Because the basar of the keva of this nevela gives tam into the chalav, and therefore the cheese will be usur. It has the tam of the nevela in it. Correct? Okay. Then the Mishnah goes on to say something that's a little bit more perplexing to us. And that is hamamid bi'or shel keva kshera. Now we're talking about a meat that's been slaughtered. So the meat itself is heter. But we have a different problem now. Not the problem of the vela. We should have a problem of basar v'chalav, correct? So again, let's start again. So kevas ove kochavim vishel nevela. Right? So you have this milk that's curling in the keva of a nevela, v'akum, correct? Is arezu asura, because it has the isa nevela in it.
I have vishel nevela. Does it make a difference?
Vishel nevela, correct.
And two different dinim.
Yeah, two different dinim, okay. I don't know why the Mishnah had to spell that out. I mean, the assumption here is that ove kochavim is nevela. Let me just double check that here. Yeah, he writes here that beheba shenishchata yidei ove kochavim dina kinevela. So again, why the Mishnah has to point that out? That's not fun. Okay. Now he's mavid in a keva of a kshera. It means that the animal was slaughtered properly. So what does the Mishnah say? We turn to Amud Beis, and the Mishnah says, "Im yesh b'nosein tam, harezu asura." Why? Because since the ratio between the basar in the keva and the chalav is nesinas tam, so there's enough basar here to give tam into the chalav, and now you made this cheese. The cheese itself is asar under the din of basar v'chalav. Now, what all the mafarshim and the poskim are going to point out here is that when the Mishnah says harezu asura, we're not dealing with an isa d'oraisa because there was no bishul, and this is equivalent to kavush or malicha, and it's only basar v'chalav d'rabbanan. But nevertheless, basar v'chalav d'rabbanan is also asur, correct? Okay. Now, what happens? This is what Rashi wants to address. This is the Rashi here on Amud Beis harezu asura. He says the following: V'cholav hanimtza karush bi'or hakeva shemolchen osa bi'ora. So the process of this keva is such that it's malicha, and therefore Rashi says it's asur kibasa b'cholav mamish. Oh, what happens now? Says Rashi. If he takes out this what he calls a chalav karush, and he uses it now to make cheese. In other words,
what's the karush? It has something on top of it, yeah?
Yeah, it somehow it becomes karush as a result of the R of the keva.
But what is karush?
Karush means it's sort of like dissolved. In other words, it's no longer in its original form. Okay? Now, he takes that out, correct? And now he wants to pour more milk into it and use that chol of karush to curdle other milk and make cheese. So Rashi's going to say that he understands that it certainly is asur. Why? Because in the keva, the chalav karush is basar v'chalav. Now you're adding basar v'chalav into more chalav. Then the gvina itself is asur. The ein biyadi koach lahatir. Then he says yesh matirin also, and there are those who are matir. Why are they matir? So the fascinating thing is that the yesh matirin build their case on a sugya called nat bar nat. Nat bar nat means that the tam of the basar goes into the dogim. Now I cook the dogim with chalav, and the tam of the basar in the dogim goes into the chalav. So it's the first nesinas tam, and now a second nesinas tam. And the Gemara establishes on daf kuf yud aleph on the days, which is a little bit early in the perek, shemutar liochlam bekutach, that you can take this fish and cook it with milk.
And eat it
with milk, and even cook it with milk. Why? The havile no sentar bar no sentar. Now, what does that have to do with our case? He says, Cholov hakeva lo nesar el mishum nesinas tam. Right? What happened to the cholov in the keva itself? Through this malicha process, or quasi malicha process, it accepted and received the tam of the cholov. And now you pour in more milk in order to make cheese. Now this cholov shebekeva is going to give tam into the gvina. Havile no sein tam bar no sein tam. Says Rashi, urechokos zu mizu kerichuk mizrach umayrav. Very unusual Rashi over here. He says this tushtel is completely off base. Because may high time in the dogim shalom bekaro. Why is it that dogim shalom bekaro you're allowed to eat with milk? Afal pisha bolo es hatam. Even though the dogim have a bli of the tam of basar, adayin heter gomor him. Right? What's wrong with cooking meat and fish? There's no problem. So you have fish that absorb the taste of meat, and it's still heter. Ukshibali ochlam bekutach. In other words, if the first tam is tam heter, then when it mixes with the second tam, we can apply the principle of basar b'chalav. Why? Because the original tam that you have in the basar, excuse me, in the dogim is not original at all, right? It's a tam basar which is not really tam. Shere lo bamin amamish. The tam of the basar in the dogim is not mamish. Elaminosin tam acher. It's in the sinus tam from the mamish, from the basar. But what do you have here in the tam basar in the dog? If you have het there, then you can add it to cholav because of no sin tam or no sin tam. But here in our case, says Rashi, you have a cholav shenimlach bebasar, meaning in our case of keva, which is Rashi equates it with malicha, mishenasnu tam zebazeh, you have basar through malicha giving tam into cholav, nasu shnehem isur. And therefore, the tam is not considered a tam sheni, but a tam rishon. Okay. When do you have a right to say that you're creating a tam sheni, a not bar not? That's only because the tam rishon was a tam heter with the basa and the dogim. But in our case, the tam of basa went into the chol through malicha. That's called a tam isur. You cannot engender a tam sheni of not bar not when you start with the tam rishon of isur. Says Rashi, rechok zum izum. What kind of equation are they talking about? Oh. Now Rashi adds a very important line. Kidekaimalon chaticha atzma nasis nevela. V'chol tama yotzi od min acholav. Bein tam chol shu, bein tam bosa shu, akol osu lifi shekula nevela. Rashi takes a step back now. And he says, wait a minute. Again, I'm presenting the Havamin of Rashi, which is not accepted by Rashi. He says, wait a minute. Maybe you'll counter-argue that really the tam of this cholov that's coming from the keva, now throwing it into another process of curdling, that tam itself is really a tam heter. Why? Because it's cholov, and cholov is mutter. Ela what? It has a tam of basar to it. So that itself is the first Nesinas Tam. That's what Rashi seems to say. So Rashi says, that's not true. Why isn't it true? So you and I would have said, the reason why that's not true is because it's Basa V'Cholav. Correct? No. Rashi has a different explanation. And this is the basis of Rashi's argument against the Yesh Matirim. Says Rashi, you know what? That Tam is a Tam Isur because of the principle of Chaticha Nasis Nevei. What do we mean? That what happens is the milk, once it absorbs the tam of the basar, it becomes the veil itself. That, therefore, is a tam iser. Rashi would be willing to open up a little bit of a door here for the yesh matirim, if not for the principle of chaticha nasis nevela. Do you follow what I'm saying? If you read Rashi carefully, Rashi builds his case against the yesh matirim on the kidekaimelon, you know, the kidekaimelon, meaning because we accept chaticha atzma nasis nevela, as if to say that if I would reject chaticha nasis nevela, I would see the basar giving tam into the cholav as nesinas tam number one, and then the cholav in the second cholav as nesinas tam number two, which makes it into nat bar nat. And the question that I want to raise for you is, why is Rashi going down that road? Forget about chaticha nasis nevela. As soon as the basar gives tam into the cholav in the keva, you've already produced a tam of iser. So why and it's radically different in the case of dogim, because the tam of basar and the dogim is not a tam of iser at all. In other words, the combination of basar and dogim is neutral. It's parva, right? I should call it parva, of course. It's not exactly parva, but it's parva. Whereas the tam of the cholav and the basar in the first mixture is isur. Rashi should have quit while he's ahead. Why does Rashi feel compelled to add the principle of chaticha nasis nevel? The Mefarshim say that the yesh matirim reject chaticha nasis nevel. And that's why they hold that there's one nesinas tam in the keva, and then there's a second nesinas tam when you mix it with the other cholav. But wait a minute, the Gemara says on Daf Kuf Ches, and nobody argues about it, that with regard to basar b'cholav, chaticha nasis nevela. So what is the machlokas here between Rashi and the Yesh Matirim? Are we saying that Rashi accepts chaticha nasis nevela, and therefore the first tam is already nevela, and it gives tam nevela in the second cholav? And therefore there's no second tam. It's the veil giving tam directly into heter. But the Yesh Matirim is saying, no, it's not Chaticha Nasis Nevela, so basically this Cholav is only carrying the Tam of Basar in it, it's not real Nevela, and I can call that one Nesinas Tam, and then when it goes mixed into the second Cholav, I have another Nesinas Tam, and therefore it becomes not Barnat. Everything could be maybe worked out, except for one problem, Chaticha Nasis Nevela. So meaning, even if I accept that I can construct a Nesinas Tam by Nesinas Tam over here, because maybe through the Malicha, you know, in the Keva, that's not a real full-fledged Nesinas Tam, and if I can count it as one separate Nesinas Tam, and then count it as a second Nesinas Tam when it's mixed with the other milk, but what about the principle of Chaticha Nasa Nevela?
Maybe the Shita is that because there's no Bishul involved,
excellent,
and it's only the Rabbanan, so Nesinas Tam can work.
Excellent. Which means that I think what we're seeing here in this Rashi is a machlokes between him, Rashi, and the Yesh Matirim about whether Chaticha Atzma Nasa Nevela applies to Malicha. Meaning, Malicha could create a Basa Machal Derabanan, but it can't create Nevela. And the question I want to raise with you is, why not? Meaning, once the Rabbanon created Basa B'cholav, why not go all the way and apply the principle of Chaticha Nasis Nevela? Mm-hmm. Oh. So what I was thinking is the following. Let's take a step back and talk about the Machlokas on Daf Kuf between Rabbeinu Ephraim and Rabbeinu Tam about whether Chaticha Nas Nevela applies to Shar Isur. Rabbeinu Ephraim has a very strong, powerful, logical argument to limit Hanan to Basa B'cholav. And Rabbeinu Tam said, excuse me, did I say Rabbeinu Tam? I meant to say Rabbeinu Ephraim. Rabbeinu Ephraim says that, wait a minute, why is Chaticha Nas Nevela L'chora? One could argue that the boss is just carrying the Tam of Cholav in it. The answer is, says Rabbeinu Tam, says Rabbeinu Ephraim, because the boss itself is mutter, the Cholav itself is mutter, and the combination thereof creates a new entity which is called boss of a Cholav. That boss of a Cholav is no less of an Isur than Nevela. Says Rabbeinu Ephraim, Bamedvar Mamur, that logic applies to boss of a Cholav. But in the case where you cooked, let's say, Nevela with other pieces of kosher meat, those pieces of kosher meat did not form some new entity. All I have is a blia of the Tam of Nevela into the Basar. And there's no reason why I should convert and transform this Basar into Nevela and require Shishim if it gets mixed up in another container against the entire Basar. I need Shishim against the Nevela that fell in. Oh. So the question is, this is what I want to raise with you, is how do we understand Rabbeinu Tam? Rabbeinu Tam says, nay, that Chaticha Nasis Nevela applies even to Shar Isur. Whether it's Chelev, whether it's Nevela, whether it's Tam, we always consistently say Chaticha Nasis Nevela. And why is that so? So I have here two answers to this question. One answer is the Ran, and the other is the Shah Rishonim. The Ran says, at the end of Kol HaBasar, that the explanation for Rabbeinu Tam is that we're always afraid that if we apply Chaticha Lo Nasis Nevela in Shari Surim, we might extend that accidentally to Basa B'chol. And he calls it Gzera Atu Basa B'chol. Now, the one who picks
that would be a Darabonin.
And that would be a Darabonin. So for sure, yeah. Even though Chanan, Chaticha Nasis Nevela, and Basa B'chol is Doraisa, in Shari Surim, even if I accept Rabbeinu Tam, says the Ran, it's only Darabonin. Chaticha Nasis Nevela and Shari Surim. Now the one who develops this beautifully is the Pri Chadosh. If you have this Friedman edition of the Shulchan Aruch, take a look in the back on page Tuf Tzadi Beis. And you'll see a paragraph that says Yid Zayin im nisarif be yavish be yavish. The pre chodesh. That's the top right, but towards the bottom of the right column. Because of Aran. Sof perik kol abosor. The kaven de lo echmiru b'shar isurim lo mar chaticha nasis nevela elo mishum losa de bosa b'cholav. Losa de bosa b'cholav means that it's similar to bosa b'cholav, meaning it's not really bosa b'cholav, but you know, in the mind of someone who's not an absolute talmid chacham, he might make that confusion and say, well, you didn't apply the principle of Chanan in general. You know, yesterday I came to the Rav with a shayla about Cholav, about Chelev, so today I have a problem with Cholav. I can apply the same yardstick. That's called Lasa de Basa B'Cholav. Oh. Now, before we see the next line in the Pre-Chadosh, which is a real bomb, I want to point out that other Rishonim have a different explanation for Rabbeinu Tam, and it has nothing to do with Basa B'Cholav. Forget about Basa B'Cholav. They say that it's very difficult and very confusing to be Mishayer Shishim against the Bolua. Meaning, there was some Chelev, we'll say, Chelev spilled into my pot, and now you're going to tell me we'll be Mishayer against the Chelev. Well, how much Chelev fell in? Who knows? So Lechumra, we're going to say that the entire Basar was saturated with the Tam of that Chelev. To avoid what we call l'shayer with an ayin, right? Because we're masharina v'shishim, right. But now you're going to tell me that mikra din, according to the rice, like to be mashayer against the chelev or the dam or the nevela that fell in. But since it's very confusing, and I don't know exactly how to evaluate the volume that fell in, I might have fell in inadvertently, and now I don't know, and this and that. You know what? We're going to do something glatt.
Because it's a suffix.
He's going to afraid that he's not going to do this calculation properly, and therefore he's going to mess up on it. You know what? To cover all our bases, let's just apply the principle of Chanan. Because when we apply the principle of Chanan, we're going to have to be Mishar against the whole Basar. And therefore we don't have to be Mishar against the Tam HaMalu and the Basar. So again, according to the Ran, the problem here is that we'll confuse Shari Surim and Basar B'Chol. According to the other Rishonim, which we'll see hopefully here in the Pre-Chadosh, the issue is not Basa B'Cholav, the issue is, will we successfully and accurately be Mishay Shishim against the Bolua? Maybe we will, maybe we won't. Let's just avoid all those problems, those nitty-gritty logistical problems, and let's say, Chok V'lo Yav, let's be Mishay against the entire piece of meat. That's called Chanan. Says the Pre-Chadosh, this is a Gevaldig Achivish, he says, the kavan de lo echmiru b'shari surim lomer chanan el mishum losad basu chalav ein omrim chaticha nasis nevela el bedvarim hamizbashlim dumia de basu b'chalav de derech bishul osra Torah inami tzorin l'tocham, right? So that's tatoi govern, that's bishul ahu derech bishul, and therefore in those cases we're going to apply the principle of Chanan. And we'll accept it in Shar Isurim. Umishum Hachi, however, he says, in Meduma or Mechumatz, so Meduma is a case of Yavish B'Yavish, where you don't know where to identify the Isur. So let's say, for example, the Vela, one piece of the Vela gets mixed up with two other dry pieces of basa kosher, or mechumatz, right? Mechumatz is like malicha, she'eno derech bishul. Like, let's say, for example, I salt my meat, and the dam somehow gets cooked together with the meat. No, I'm sorry, it doesn't get cooked. It gets salted together with the meat, which is always a problem. That's why we have all sorts of dinim, to make sure that after the malicha, the dam gets separated, you know, it goes down through the holes. But let's say you didn't do that. So now the basar has saturated this dam, but again, there was no bishul over here. Lo amrinin bechaticha nasis nevel. He says lefi ze dover shenesar bo klipa kagon malicha utzli vechayotze bazeh. Right. Let's say you do malicha of iser and heter, and therefore, let's say it needs kedei klipa. but again there was no bishul. Ein bo din chaticha nasis nevela. V'chein kosav b'shach b'shem hator schatos klal amiches v'hiskim imo. So this is the final maskana of the shach, that we only apply chaticha nasis nevela if there was a bishul process.
In shari surim.
Correct, in shari surim. Okay. Now, the pre-chadash wants to take this one step further. And he wants to suggest the following. Let's say you have an iser basa b'chol of dirabbana. And it means that there was no violation of bishul. He says there too we should not apply chaticha nasis nevela. Because what's the Ran's logic? He's saying that chaticha nasis nevela is a result of basa b'cholov, and basa b'cholov means derech bishul. Therefore, he wants to say that maluach or meduma, we do not apply the principle of chaticha nasis nevela. Says the Pri Chadash, I should extend this principle even penetrating into the walls of the sanctum of basa b'cholov. If the basa b'cholov was not usa through bishul, then he says we should not apply the principle of chaticha nasis nevela. It's a gval gechidish of the Pri Chadash. And therefore he quotes the Rambam, and looking on to the second column on the left, he says in the third line, Harelcha behedja, based on this Rambam, Dibibasar of Becholov, Kema Dahabi Durabon and Loamri de Bechaticha Nasis Nevela. And therefore it comes out, according to the Pri Chadash, which he spells out in the next part of his presentation, if you have Malicha or Kavush, and even though it's Basa Bechol Midrabanan, nevertheless, we won't extend the din of chaticha nasis nevela, right? Mm-hmm. And therefore, he says the came of the osam and the torah machmir nami kovish and maluach to call the tikkur rabbanan came the raisa. So why not apply chanan to kovish and maluach and apply the principle of call the tikkur rabbanan came the raisa? Mikomakom lo machmir kuli hai b'mayv by the osam rabbanan. If the whole din of chanan is based on the similarity to Basa B'cholov, and Basa B'cholov is always through Bishul, then if you have a Basa B'cholov that's not through Bishul, it's not due to Basa B'cholov. And I think what's going on here is that this pre-Chadash, based on the Ran, is going to give us an insight into the Yesh Matirin that we saw in Rashi. Because what was the argument of the Yesh Matirin? Then you have one Nesinus Tam, and then another Nesinus Tam. So Rashi says, but wait a minute, chaticha nasis nevela, because there was basa b'cholov in the first time. The answer is, because since it's only maliach, there's no din of chanan. So it comes out, I think, that the machlokas between Rashi and the Yesh Matirin on Kuf Tezayin Amid Beis is in fact totally in this pre-chadash. V'chein ikar, look how he summarizes at the very end. The law min chatichas nas nevela dafka b'midi di osim in haTorah u'kipshat divrei haRambam. Just like we saw the Rambam by Basar Ov, we can extend it to Malicha and to Kavush, or to Mechumot. And for that matter, with the Kavachomer to Meduma, which is Yavish b'Yavish. And we would say there's no chatichas nas nevela. And not even in Basar Becholov. Why? Because it's not Basar Becholov to Raisa, it's lacking Bishul. And there's no reason to extend Chanan to anything that's lacking Bishul. Basically, I think the lumdus here in the Pre-Chadash is that if you take Basar and Cholov and you salt them together, or Kavush, then there really is no new entity of Basar v'Cholov, right? What was the svar of Rabbeinu Ephraim? Why we apply Chanan to Basar v'Cholov? Because through this combination of Basar v'Cholov, you've created a brand new entity. And that entity is the combination of basa and chol together. The basa becomes also, and the chol becomes also. It's not that the basa is carrying the chol in it, and it's also because of the blia. The basa itself is a shtik nevela. Says the Pri Chadash b'medvar ma'amurim, how do you create this new entity of chetzu disura of basa v'chol that's called chanan? That's only through Bishul. But if you don't have Bishul, then all you have is an Asinus Tam, and you have a piece of Basa that's carrying the Tam of Cholov in it, or vice versa. And in that case, through Kavush or Maluach, what you have is an Isa Balua. And if you have an Isa Balua, there's no Chanan. And the beauty of it is, that this pre-chadash is predicated on the Ran, from beginning to end, because it's the Ran who says that I refuse to extend Hanan beyond the cases of civil. That the reason why I'm going to extend Hanan to Shari Surim is only because of the confusion.
That's Rabbeinu Tam, yeah.
Right, Rabbeinu Tam is only, says the Ran, the Rabbeinu Tam is based on a confusion with Basav Acholov, and therefore I'm going to only apply it when it's Derech Bishol. But let's take Shari Surim, according to Shari Shonim, the reason why Rabbeinu Tam extended Hanan to all Isurim is not because of Basav Acholov. If that be the case, then Shari Surim become Hanan. The background is because we don't know how to be Mishair in the Malua. Fine. But at the end of the day, Chaticha Nasis Nevela applies to Shari Surim. If that be the case, then Kol Shkenet should apply to Basa B'Cholav. And now we can apply the principle of the Pre-Chodesh that Kol the Tikkur Rabbanan came to Raisa Tikkur. And just like in the Raisa Basa B'Cholav, there's what? There's Chaticha Nasis Nevela. So too, in the Drabbanan of Basa B'Cholav, there also should be Chaticha Nasis Nevela. It means that the machlokas between Rashi and the Yesh Matirim, as far as Malicha in Keva, in Mamidim in Keva, is really in effect a machlokas between the Ran and other Rishonim that had to learn Hanan Bashari Surim. Let's go over one more time. If Hanan Bashari Surim is an extension of Basav Acholov, then we're saying it has to, as the Pre-Chodesh points, has to be similar to Basav Acholov, meaning the key element is Bishul. And therefore, in Basav B'Cholav, the Rabbanan of Kavush or Malicha and the like, we don't have Bishul, therefore we should not apply the principle of Hanan. And therefore, we go back to the case of Ar Keva, there is no Hanan, and we have the Yesh Matirim. If, on the other hand, I explain Rabbeinu Tam and the extension of Hanan to Shari Surim based on Shari Surim itself has nothing to do with Basav B'Cholav, and therefore Chaticha Nasis Nevela applies irrelevant to and independent of Bishul, if that be the case, then Rashi is right that in Malicha, in the case of Arkeva, what I have here is a Nesinas Tam of Chatichanas's Nevela, a pure Nevela that I can't call it Nesinas Tam. It's not that I'm carrying the Tam into the second Taroves, I'm carrying the Nevela into the second Taroves, because Chatichanas Nevela, even in Malicha Drabbanan, the Basav B'Cholav Drabbanan, is still Chatichanas's Nevela. That's what we have up until this point.
According to this, though, how could you ever make cheese? Because you always the keva is going to be less than shishi.
Right. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, that they make cheese with a different process today.
Today they don't use the arkeva.
Right, which is called in English rennet.
Right. They use upper seder. But what did they do back then? What did they do before rennet wasn't developed?
Right, so I guess what they would have to do is they would have to assume that from the keva you extract the rennet, meaning this reminds me of the issue
kosher kates.
Yeah, it's also the issue of gelatin. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, and ponim chadoshes
bo'ukam. Right.
Yeah.
So
that's what they did
in medicines. You have this issue over and over again, because what they do is they take non-kosher foods and they extract, they make it into a powder form and so forth and so on. But some are machmir in achila, not in medicine. And I remember this came up with regard to, what's the issue? I think it was marshmallows, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
Because the marshmallows was made of gelatin. So the big matir, the big maker, was Reb Chaim Ozer, because he held that the gelatin is made into a powder, and he wanted to be acquainted with this.
Now, but I went in Toronto to see how gelatin is made.
Right.
And targets are completely, what you get at the end, chemically, is different from the original.
From the original.
Yeah, totally.
So that's Reb Chaim Ozer, and those who argue
with the United States, right, is Rav Moshe and Rav Aaron Cutler wrote in the first chelik of Noam.
Right.
They wrote a tshuva against Job.
Against
Job. And their psak became the psak for
right.
The States.
Right. And
Barton's
that's
Candy was the one who asked the shot.
Oh, I see. So there was a period of time in my childhood where they were presenting gelatin as kosher, based on this tshuva of Reb Chaim Oster, and it was a big to-do.
And Rav used to eat Kraft cheese,
right? Probably for the same reason. And I think there were other things that the Rav ate also that were all based on this logic. Now the counter to Reb Chaim Oster, because Reb Chaim Oster's logic is eisen, it's really powerful, I think, is something called achshave, which is a whole nother sugya.
But achshave.
No, why do I say this? Because Reb Moshe writes that we can still be makel in medicines.
Medicine is not
derech achilu. Oh, it's not derech achilu. Oh, maybe you're right. When I recall, maybe it wasn't Reb Moshe, maybe it was somewhere else, but I saw somewhere that the plukta between Reb Chaim Oster and those who are machmir only applies when you're eating it for the sake of digestion or filling yourself up for satiety. But if you're taking it as a medicine, we don't apply achshave. Meaning that something that's already been converted into a different substance, and who's going to eat it in that substance? Again, there are many different ways of learning this. Upon Kadosh Bola Kaman, or maybe it's Nifsal Nechil's Kelev, whatever it is. So some want to say, well, it's Asherah. You know, you're considering it as an Achil. But Pamedvar Amur, that's only when you take it for purpose of satiation. But if you're taking it as a medicine, then it's not Asherah. So I don't know, all these coated pills that have gelatin in them, I'm not sure, you know, why you have to be so machmir about that. Because, you know, there are two ways of being makil. Either you rely on Reb Chaim Oster, but even if you don't want to rely on Reb Chaim Oster, still, there's no svar of achshave here. You're taking it as a medicine.
Achshave only works by nifsal achilas kelev.
Right. This powder might be panachadoshes, yeah.
But if it's panachadoshes, it's a completely different entity.
Right. So the real question is, again, I have to research this, but if I'm not mistaken, Panim Chadoshos works in Isuri Achila, but not in Isuri Hanor. Like, for example, in Basa V'Cholov, I think even a powder might be a problem, because in Basa V'Cholov there's an Isur Hanor, and I think the Gemara says in Pesachim, even if you do it in an unusual way, you know, like hot Basa V'Cholov that would burn your throat, you'd still be violating the Isur Hanor, because the Torah asks it even Shalok Keder Hanor. So, and therefore, I think even if you burn Basa V'Cholov, you convert into Afer. Again, I'm not saying that all the Rishonim hold this way, but some Rishonim say you still also to the Afer, even though it's Panim Chadoshes Bolakan. And that's the sugi at the beginning of the second paragraph of Pesach with regard to Chametz. If you burn Chametz, and the question is Afer Chametz HaNisraf, whether it's Mutter or Asur. And even those who are Matir, it's only because of the mitzvah of Tashbisu. What do I mean? There's a principle that's called Nases Mitzvosa, which means that if the Torah tells me to burn something like Nevela or Nosar and things like that, then the Kiyum HaMitzvah removes the Iser. But if not for the Svara of Nases Mitzvosa, the Afer itself would be awesome. And the question is why? Why not part of Chadosh? So they want to say that Isuri Anah might be different than Isuri Achil. Again, but that's, you know, I'm sure we'll get to it, but it might take a half a year or so. What I did want to learn with you is the Prima Gadol. This is on page Tzadi, where is it? Tzadi Aleph. Let's see if we can find this. Oh. Now, to appreciate where this is in the Sifsei Das of the Prima Gadol on the left side, towards the bottom, you'll see a paragraph that starts with Da, if you count up about 20 lines from the bottom, Mashu Kazer. But just to appreciate where he's coming from, the Shach, which is on page Peches, which is, you just have to turn one page back, the Shach writes, and this is about 5 lines down from the top of Sifkot Tezayin, he writes, right, which was, if you remember, that was the subject of the Pri Chodosh that we saw. Pasak b'Torah Chatas Klal Amiches.
He quotes this.
Yeah. The after nahaginon l'shair kol malicha b'shishu. Right, even though we assume that malicha requires shishim, meaning we consider it like bishul, Mikomakom keva de harbe posim sovrim de chol mahlicha eno seris rakide klipa yesh lahatir litzorech hefseg god. So basically, the Torah's Chatas, as quoted by the Shach, is matir behefseg gadol in the case of malicha, that you can be mishayar b'shishim and you don't apply the principle of chanan. Now, the Prima Gadol raises the following question: is the Shach willing to be mekil even in basa v'chol? You know, keep in mind that siman sadi beis is still hilchas basa v'chol, and the Prima Gadol thinks that you might come to a mistaken conclusion, which he says is a really bad mistake, that this kula of b'shas hefsei gadol, the tzarek hefsei gadol, of relying on shishim and completely eliminating the principle of chanan, you might think that that applies in basa v'chol of itself, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the first impression you take from this shach, the way he presents the Torah's Chatas, which is the Ramah. He says, no, da, now we're up to the Prima Gadol. The Hada Hekel Harav, the Ramah, the Torah's Chatas, Hatam, the reason for it is the Rov Poskim, the Lirov Poskim, I think you should say, or the Rov Poskim Sovrim, I guess, the Lo Amrin Chatich and Asnavel B'Shari Surim. Meaning, even though the Ramah is Machmir Lahalocha, and he applies Chanan in Shari Surim, he's still very sensitive, very aware of the fact that Rov Poskim are making it like Rabbeinu Ephraim. And therefore, he's going to combine two snifim lakula. One snif is to say that it's only malicha, right? And we use the logic of the pre-chadish with the Ran that malicha is not dubya de bishul, and therefore there should not be any chanan, and it's only the rabbanim. On the second hand, we're going to be relying on another snif, namely that most poskim hold that there is no chanan in shari surah. That's the Torah's Chatas, and there he's going to rely on that combination b'shas hefsek. But lefi zeh bebasar becholav bemalicha, the Arashba mina matirim chaticha nases nevela. In other words, even though the Rashba himself accepts the shita of Rabbeinu Ephraim that there's no chaticha nases nevela in shari surim, but afilu haki besimon tzadi bekhal hevi harav daito, the Ramah paskins like the Rashba and Simon Tzadi. That's why I discussed in my previous shiur, we had a whole shiur on this, that you don't apply chaticha nasis nevela. I'm sorry, you do apply chaticha nasis nevela to basa b'chol of dirabbanan, correct? And therefore, he says that even b'shas hadchak, you can't be mekil in basa b'chol. So again, we're talking about two different cases of malicha. We'll have malicha in basar b'cholav, and then we'll have malicha in basar b'chelev. And he's going to say the following: when the Ramah is mekil, he's lenient b'shas hadchak, and he doesn't want to apply chanan, that's only in chelev. Why? Because there are those poskim who say that there's no din of chanan in shari surim. But when we get to basar b'cholav, and certainly on a deraisa level, basar b'cholav engenders chanan, the Ramah himself Lishitoso accepts the Rashba that this chanan even in basa v'chol drabanan through malicha, so he's not requiring that precondition of bishul. He's just saying that when the rabbanan instituted basa v'chol, they instituted as an extension and a reflection of basa v'chol doraisa, and therefore called the tikkun rabbanan came doraisa tikkun. We're going to have to apply chanan to basa v'chol drabanan, says the Rashba, and therefore since the Ramah himself accepts the Rashba, and there is chanan in basa v'chol drabanan, and came yiroi, it seems to me, says the Prima Gadol, the eila hakil afil adas harav im nafal. It should say chol of here. It's a little too small for my eyes. What do you see under the ches? Could you see that? I think it's a comma. Anyway, it should be a comma. Chol of b'malicha al abasa denasis nevela v'tzarech akakak shishim kineged kol achaticha afilu behefseid meruba ein lahakel. The kula of the Ramah, behefseid meruba, only applies to chelev, meaning to shari surim, but not to cholav. So again, we come up with a very interesting lumpus over here. We're willing to extend chanan from basa b'chol doraisa to malicha d'rabbanan, and that's because kol d'tikun rabbanan came doraisa tikun. But we're not going to, at least for shas hadchak, we're not going to extend the principle of chanan to shar isurim in a case of malicha. And here we're going to rely on the Ran, who says that since there was no bishul and it's not dumya the basa b'chol, therefore it's mutter and there's no need for chanan. But the Prima Gadim is warning us. He's saying, don't misunderstand the Shach. The Shach says in the name of the Torah Schat, so we can be Mekil, the Hesed, Merube, and not apply Kanan. That's only the Shari Surim, and not in Basel L'chol. I certainly think that this Prima Gadim is a big Chiddush. That's not the first impression that you get from the Shach when you read it straightforward. But on the other hand, his logic is very, very compelling.
Hanan applies only when there's not shishim in the meat against the Kippas Chola.
In the original Kedera, the first Kedera, the first cooking. Right,
if,
for sure.
If that piece only of meat is not in the gravy, so it's sticking out.
Right.
So you need shishim connected to Kippas Chola.
Right.
And if there is,
then everything's mutter.
Everything's mutter.
If there's only 59 in the basar, then we apply Kanan.
And you don't have to remove the
no, enjoy it. Enjoy it. It's bottle. Now, the truth is that the Aruch HaShulchan has this chiddush that there are two split seconds in time. This, the first split second, and then the second split second. The first split second, the cholov is still sort of hovering over the, it's like forms a almost a coating over the basar.
Yeah.
And then a second later, it's almost instantaneously, it penetrates into the basar. So in answer to your question, I would say that, you know, wait a split second, you know, wait till the cholov completely, you know, disappears. Because if the cholov is still, you know, hovering around the chatichas basar, you might have a problem. But the Pella is, and this I heard from the Rav once, that even after the Cholov penetrates and it's bottled in the basar, he says, I don't get it. He says, I don't understand why you're allowed to eat this. Why is it any better than eating cheese after you had a fleishik of meal? The Rabbanan, at least, prohibited. Yeah, that's what I mentioned. Oh yeah, you were there. I forgot whether you were there. Okay, Rabosai, let's... we'll change, we'll switch gears. Okay.
I brought another one.
Where did you say?